Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'Assemblée générale annuelle 2016 des actionnaires de BCE. Je suis Tom O'Neill, président du conseil d'administration, et je vais présider cette assemblée. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 2016 annual meeting of BCE. My name is Tom O'Neill, and I will preside over the meeting this morning. Je déclare maintenant cette assemblée ouverte. L'assemblée se déroule en français et en anglais, et les actionnaires sont invités à s'adresser à l'assemblée dans la langue de leur choix. The business of the meeting will be conducted in English and French. We have made available to you headsets for simultaneous translations of today's proceedings. And if you need a headset, please just raise your hand. Nous avons mis à votre disposition des écouteurs pour le service de traduction simultanée. Levez la main si vous désirez en obtenir un. Dans l'éventualité d'une urgence, veuillez noter la sortie de secours le plus près de vous. Il y a deux ici en avant aussi. Il y en a à chaque côté de la salle. In the event of an emergency, please locate the exit nearest you. There's one in the back and two here. And ushers will assist you if necessary. Il me fait maintenant plaisir de vous présenter les personnes qui sont sur la scène avec moi aujourd'hui. To my far left is George Cope, President and Chief Executive Officer of BCE and Bell Canada. And beside George is Glenn LeBlanc, our Chief Financial Officer. À côté de Glenn se trouve notre chef de service juridique et secrétaire corporatif, Michel Allan. Je vais tout d'abord demander à Michel de revoir certaines formalités de l'Assemblée. Michel.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Lors de l'inscription à l'Assemblée d'aujourd'hui, tous les actionnaires devraient avoir reçu un bulletin qui sera utilisé pour les questions soumises au vote. Notez que vous n'avez pas besoin de bulletin si vous avez déjà exercé votre droit de vote par procuration et ne souhaitez pas modifier votre vote. Si vous êtes actionnaire et n'avez pas reçu de bulletin de vote, veuillez lever votre main et nous vous en apporterons un. If you are a shareholder and have not received a ballot, please raise your hand. Vous devez écrire votre nom et signer le bulletin de vote au bas de la deuxième page. You must write your name and sign the ballot at the end of the second page. Veuillez noter qu'afin de faciliter le déroulement des votes, nous avons demandé à certains actionnaires inscrits ou fondés de pouvoir de présenter les propositions à l'égard de certains des points à l'ordre du jour et de les appuyer. Un actionnaire inscrit ou un fondé de pouvoir qui souhaite s'adresser au président relativement à une question à l'ordre du jour devra, au moment approprié, se rendre à l'un des micros situés dans chacune des allées. Vous devrez alors vous nommer et indiquer si vous êtes un actionnaire inscrit ou un fondé de pouvoir dûment désigné avant de soumettre votre question ou votre commentaire. Si vous préférez attendre pour poser une question ou faire un commentaire, ou si votre question ou commentaire n'est pas relié à l'item discuté, il y aura une période générale de questions et commentaires à la fin de l'Assemblée. Nous donnerons des directives additionnelles avant de passer à chacun des votes. Je vous rappelle que les commentaires qui seront faits aujourd'hui contiennent des déclarations prospectives. Celles-ci se fondent sur plusieurs hypothèses et sont assujetties à d'importants risques. Par conséquent, les résultats réels peuvent différer de façon importante de ceux envisagés dans ces déclarations prospectives. For additional information on such assumptions and risks, please consult BCE's 2015 annual and 2016 first quarter MD&As, as well as our press release issued this morning, announcing our financial results for the first quarter, all filed with the Canadian Securities Regulatory Authorities and with the SEC. These documents are also available on BCE's website. Ces déclarations prospectives représentent les attentes de BCE en date d'aujourd'hui et pourraient, par conséquent, changer après cette date. À moins que les lois canadiennes de valeur mobilière ne l'exigent, nous ne nous engageons pas à mettre à jour ou à réviser les déclarations prospectives, même à la suite de l'obtention de nouveaux renseignements ou de l'occurrence d'événements futurs, ni pour toute autre raison. Je mets cet avertissement au nom de chaque intervenant dont les commentaires aujourd'hui contiendront des déclarations prospectives. Je vous cède la parole, Monsieur le Président.
Merci, Michel. As you've noticed from the proxy circular, this is my last meeting as a director of BCE and Bell. And as such, I thought I might take some time to share some reflections of my term as chair since 2009. So what happened since George and his management team took over in July of 2008? We've enjoyed significant sales growth, healthy and sustainable. We've made many core acquisitions to strengthen the business, such as The Source, such as CTV, such as Astral, such as our investments in the Montreal Canadiens and Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. We've had continuous product innovation, such as Fibe TV. We've vastly improved our overall customer service as measured by independents outside of Bell. We maintain an enhanced, already strong balance sheet, reinforced by our healthy credit ratings. We had repeated and steady and sustainable dividend increases, 12 to be exact, and share price appreciation, which resulted in total shareholder return of over 217%. So we know what happened. Today I'd like to reflect on why it happened this way, and here are some of my thoughts. Boards on behalf of shareholders should focus on very few things, but do them very well. And first is the selection of the CEO. And in this regard, we were fortunate to have George Cope, who, with his management team, drove a focused and successful total transformation of the company. In February, the Canadian business community celebrated what we already knew as a board and recognized George as Canada's outstanding CEO of the year. The board will take credit for hiring George, but the real credit for what happened is largely due to management's leadership and actions. The leadership team, which is in front of you over here on my left, is our top talent and is incredibly talented. The second thing the board needs to do with management is to develop a sustainable business strategy. Such strategy must be flexible and adaptive to rapidly changing circumstances, and in our space, of course, competitive and technological advances are two such circumstances. When George started, he put together a 100-day plan and strategy based on six imperatives, and I might bet a dollar we may hear more on that topic. This strategy has been patiently, deliberately, and relentlessly implemented, building block by building block, with great success. The third point I would make is you have elected and supported an outstanding board of directors. Collectively, we have incredible global expertise in business overall, but as well, we have specific and deep industry expertise in telecommunications, media, and entertainment. This board that you have elected in the past, and hopefully today as well, has a strong board culture. It's founded on a few basic principles which we treasure. One is diversity and independence of thought, yet an ability to come to consensus. A focus on what is important to enhancing the value of Bell to all of our stakeholders, but very importantly to our customers and you, our shareholders. We work with a team approach, but from time to time a director becomes the lead violinist on a specific topic where he or she has deep expertise. But on the other hand, no one director has disproportionate airtime at any meeting. We have deep respect for each other. We focus on issues and not personalities, and I might say we have fun when we work together. But finally, and most importantly, we share an obligation to ensure that we leave this company better conditioned than we found it when we joined as a director. As previously announced and subject to your vote today, the board unanimously concluded that Gordon Nixon be the next chair of Bell and BC effective at the end of this meeting. I have known Gord for over 25 years. He's an excellent choice. He will be a great leader and ambassador for Bell throughout the country. Having been the CEO of RBC, Canada's largest bank, he is well known up and down this country and as well internationally. And he, as George, was recognized as Canada's outstanding CEO of the year in 2007. In closing my remarks, I thank George, I thank the management team, I thank the board for their support and their advice and counsel since I became a director in 2003 and chair of 2009. And I also thank the shareholders who showed similar support in re-electing me during that period. I will miss this board, but I'll leave with the total confidence that the company is in extremely strong shape and its future is even brighter than its past. Thank you. Merci beaucoup. Passons maintenant au point numéro un à l'ordre du jour. I can report that notice of this meeting was sent to all common shareholders of record as of March 14, 2016, and I have a declaration of mailing to this effect, which will be filed with the records of the meeting. Le deuxième point à l'ordre du jour est la nomination des scrutateurs pour l'Assemblée. I can report that Ms. Janine Rigon and Monsieur Guy L'Espérance, employees of CST Trust Company, have been appointed to act as scrutineers of this meeting. Nous en sommes maintenant au point numéro 3 à l'ordre du jour. Les scrutateurs m'ont remis le rapport sur les présences qui sera déposé avec le procès-verbal de cette assemblée. The attendance report, together with the proxies which I hold for this meeting, confirm that in accordance with our bylaws, at least 25% of the outstanding shares of BCE entitled to vote are present in person or by proxy at this meeting. I therefore declare this meeting to be properly constituted for the transaction of such business as may properly be brought before it. L'Assemblée d'aujourd'hui se déroulera comme suit. First, we will proceed with the receipt of the 2015 consolidated financial statements of the company and the auditor's report thereon, as well as the election of our board of directors for the next year, the appointment of the auditors for the subsequent year, the approval of the advisory resolution on executive compensation, and we have consideration of two shareholder proposals which are in your proxy. Par la suite, George Cope, notre président et chef de la direction, s'adressera à l'Assemblée après que nous passerons à la période de questions et commentaires. Le prochain point à l'ordre du jour, c'est numéro 4, the annual report for the year 2015, containing the consolidated financial statements and the auditor's report thereon, has been sent to all shareholders who are entitled to receive it. And a copy of the 2015 annual report will be filed by Michelle with the records of this meeting. Des représentants de Deloitte sont présents avec nous aujourd'hui, dont M. Pierre Brodeur et David Morris, tous deux associés au sein de la firme, ainsi que Glenn Laban, notre chef des affaires financières, pour répondre à vos questions au sujet de nos états financiers. Are there any questions that shareholders would wish to ask regarding the financial statements of the company? Can you see anyone? Okay, seeing no one, we will pass on to the next item. Le prochain item à l'ordre du jour, c'est l'élection des administrateurs. Il y a 14 administrateurs à élire et 14 candidats admissibles ont été proposés. Before I introduce the nominees for election to your board, let me first take a moment to recognize Ms. Carol Taylor, who retired since our last shareholder meeting. We were very grateful for her, Carol's invaluable service to our shareholders, for our customers, and for our company. I would now ask each nominee for election to the Board of Directors to stand as I call her or his name and remain standing until all the nominees have been introduced. Je vais débuter par trois candidats qui se présentent devant vous pour la première fois. Du Québec, Madame Monique Leroux était jusqu'au 9 avril dernier présidente du conseil et chef de la direction du mouvement Desjardins. And from Ontario, Ms. Catherine Lee, who is a corporate director and served as the chief executive officer of GE Capital Canada. Du Québec, Monsieur Kaelin Rovinescu, et président et chef de la direction d'Air Canada. Madame Leroux et Monsieur Rovinescu sont les nouveaux candidats au poste d'administrateur. Ms. Lee joined our board in August of 2015. We are very grateful to these respected business leaders to have accepted our invitation to be nominated to be elected to your board and serve you as shareholders. We know they will enrich and broaden the portfolio of knowledge that we have at the board level, and your company will greatly benefit from their vast experience and their leadership. From last year's nominees, from Florida, Mr. Barry Allen. From Alberta, Mr. Ron Brenneman. Du Québec, Madame Sophie Brochu. Du Québec, Monsieur Robert Brown. From Ontario, Mr. George Cope. From Ontario, Mr. David Dennison. From Nova Scotia, Mr. Rob Dexter. To Quebec, Mr. Ian Greenberg. From Ontario, Mr. Gordon Nixon. From Ontario, Mr. Robert Simmons. And last but not least, from Ontario, Mr. Paul Weiss. Mesdames et messieurs, vos candidats au poste d'administrateur. Some years ago, your board adopted majority voting principles, and so again this year, any director nominee who does not receive a greater number of votes for his or her election than votes withheld must submit his or her resignation letter to the board. Within 90 days, the board will decide to accept or refuse such resignation. You should know, though, absent exceptional circumstances, the board would accept such resignation. And in addition, the board's determination will be publicly released by press release. Je demanderai maintenant à Julie Maronani de proposer l'action des candidats pour les 14 postes d'administrateur.
Monsieur le Président, je m'appelle Julie Maronani et je suis fondée de pouvoir. Je propose que les 14 personnes dont le nom apparaît à titre de candidat dans la circulaire de procuration de la direction soient élus administrateurs de BCE jusqu'à la fin de la prochaine Assemblée annuelle des actionnaires ou à la date à laquelle il cesse d'occuper ses fonctions.
Merci, Julie. Marguerite Novak, voulez-vous appuyer cette proposition?
Monsieur le Président, je m'appelle Marguerite Novak et je suis actionnaire inscrite. J'appuie la proposition.
Merci beaucoup, Marguerite. Nous allons maintenant procéder au vote et je demanderai à Michel de passer en revue les formalités.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Je vous rappelle que si vous avez déjà retourné votre formulaire de procuration ou si vous avez déjà exercé les droits de vote attachés à vos actions d'une autre façon, ces votes ont déjà été compilés par les scrutateurs et vous n'avez donc pas besoin de voter à nouveau. Veuillez donc prendre le bulletin de vote et inscrire un crochet ou un X dans l'une ou l'autre des cases intitulées « pour » ou « abstention » en regard de chaque nom de candidat. Votre bulletin de vote sera recueilli après que tous les votes aient été complétés, donc veuillez, s'il vous plaît, le conserver. Please take the ballot and place a checkmark or X in the box labeled for or withhold next to each nominee's name. Your ballot will only be collected after the votes are completed on all matters. Please hold on your ballot until then. Merci, je vous redonne la parole, Monsieur le Président.
Merci, Michel. We are now, as you vote, we are now at agenda item number 6, which is the appointment of auditors. Je demande maintenant à Constance Sauper de proposer la nomination de Deloitte à titre d'auditeur de BCE.
Monsieur le Président, je suis Constance Sauper et je suis une actionnaire inscrite. Je propose la nomination de Deloitte à titre d'auditeur de BCE jusqu'à la prochaine réunion annuelle des actionnaires.
Merci, Constance. Chantal Baudouin, voudriez-vous appuyer cette proposition?
Monsieur le Président, je m'appelle Chantal Baudouin et je suis une fondée de pouvoir. J'appuie la proposition.
Merci beaucoup, Chantal. Je demanderai à Michel de passer en revue les formalités du vote. S'il vous plaît, Michel.
Merci. Veuillez donc, encore une fois, prendre le bulletin de vote et inscrire un crochet ou un X pour l'élection de l'auditeur dans l'une ou l'autre des cases intitulées « pour » ou « abstention ». Tel qu'indiqué précédemment, conservez votre bulletin. Please take the ballot and place a check mark or X for the appointment of the auditors in the box labeled for or withhold. As previously indicated, please hold on to your ballot. C'est la parole, Monsieur le Président.
Merci. Item 7 on our agenda is an advisory vote on executive compensation. Nous sommes maintenant au point numéro 7 à l'ordre du jour. Et pour la septième année consécutive, nous tenons un vote consultatif auprès des actionnaires sur l'approche de BCE en matière de rémunération de la haute direction. And in our proxy circular from pages 42 to 77, we've detailed our compensation philosophies and the programs for 2015. Our pay philosophy is based on the fundamental principle of pay for performance to align the interests of our executives with those of you, our shareholders. This compensation approach allows us to attract and retain high-performing executives who are strongly incented to create value for our shareholders and on a sustainable basis. I do remind shareholders, because your vote is advisory, it will not necessarily be binding upon our board of directors. However, the board and its Management Resources and Compensation Committee, chaired by Mr. Brenneman, will review and analyze the result of today's vote and comments we receive from shareholders on executive compensation matters, and will take into consideration such results when reviewing policies and programs in the future. Je demande maintenant à Frédéric Henry de proposer l'approbation sur la résolution consultative sur la rémunération de la haute direction.
Bonjour, Monsieur le Président. Je suis Frédéric Henry. Je propose que la résolution consultative sur la rémunération de la haute direction soit approuvée.
Merci beaucoup, Frédéric. Francis Duprat, voulez-vous appuyer cette proposition?
Bonjour, Monsieur le Président. Je m'appelle Francine Duprat et je suis une actionnaire inscrite et je seconde la proposition.
Merci beaucoup. Nous avons quelqu'un à micro numéro 1. C'est M. Gagnon, je pense.
Monsieur le Président, oui. Vous avez raison, je ne passe pas inaperçu. Vous m'envoyez désolé. Mon nom est Willy Gagnon, j'agis pour le compte du MEDAC, le mouvement de défense, mouvement d'éducation et de défense des actionnaires. Comme à chaque année, à ce moment-ci de l'Assemblée annuelle, on intervient pour faire un calcul que les sociétés ne font pas encore, étant donné que ça n'est pas obligatoire. C'est-à-dire le calcul du ratio de rémunération. J'aimerais souligner à l'Assemblée que, étant donné la masse salariale qu'on peut trouver à la note 5 de la page 134 du rapport annuel, le nombre d'employés qu'on peut trouver à la page 24 de la circulaire, on peut déterminer le salaire moyen chez BCE, qu'on peut ainsi comparer au salaire de la personne la mieux payée, nommément M. Cope, chez BCE, 11 544 999 $ à la page 67 de la circulaire, ce qui donne un ratio de rémunération, c'est-à-dire la comparaison de ce salaire-là avec le salaire moyen que je viens de vous indiquer comment calculer, 128 fois le salaire moyen. C'est nettement au-delà de ce qui est raisonnable. J'aimerais informer l'Assemblée de ce qu'on apprenait au début du mois, que l'État d'Israël a maintenant fixé un salaire maximum dans le domaine des finances et des sociétés cotées à la bourse d'environ 860 000 $ canadiens par année. C'est 12 fois moins élevé que ce que vous payez votre plus haut dirigeant. Et puis, ils ont imposé une limite de 35 fois le salaire le plus bas dans l'entreprise. Donc, si on faisait ça chez vous avec le salaire moyen, 35 fois 90 000 $ par année, ça donnerait environ 3 millions de $. Vous payez votre plus haut dirigeant 4 fois plus que ça. On trouve que c'est nettement exagéré, comme on trouve que c'est nettement exagéré dans l'ensemble de l'industrie. Et puis, je vous servirai la phrase de notre distingué fondateur, M. Michaud. Hein? Comme à chaque année, Quous quetandem abutere catilina patientia nostra. Jusque à quand abuserez-vous de notre patience? J'invite évidemment l'ensemble des actionnaires à s'opposer à la politique de rémunération de BCE.
Merci, M. Gagnon, for your comments. And I would just respond as follows with respect to ratios. First of all, we do a lot of comparative and benchmarking, which is not inclusive of formal vertical ratios, simply because there is no generally accepted method in which to do such. On the employee count, for example, does it include contractors or not? ISS and Glass Lewis, both of whom are respected shareholder advisory firms, have also noted in their printed material that goes out to their clients but it's very, very, very difficult to find a common approach. So we satisfy ourselves with other measures, and our MRCC, in its letter to you, our shareholders, has explained how we get to the conclusion of fairness and equity. So thank you for your comments. I think we're prepared. Michelle, anybody else?
Donc, nous allons maintenant procéder au vote sur cette résolution. Sur le bulletin de vote, inscrivez un crochet ou un X dans l'une ou l'autre des cases intitulées « Pour ou contre » cette résolution et continuez de conserver votre bulletin. Please take the ballot and place a check mark or X on the box labeled « For or against » for the advisory resolution and executive compensation and continue to hold on to your ballot. Thank you.
Merci. La dernière question soumise au vote aujourd'hui porte sur deux propositions d'actionnaires. Le mouvement d'éducation et de défense des actionnaires, qui s'appelle MEDAC, a soumis une proposition, and William Davis has also submitted a proposal. Le texte de chaque proposition, ainsi que la position de votre conseil d'administration, se trouve aux pages numéro 82 et 83 dans la circulation de procuration de la direction. We will entertain motions for the proposals and then proceed to vote. Premièrement, je demande à Madame Dufresne du MEDAC, voulez-vous commencer avec votre proposition, s'il vous plaît?
Oui, merci. Alors, bonjour Mesdames, bonjour Messieurs. Mon nom est Hélène Dufresne, je suis membre du MEDAC et je suis actionnaire également de BCE à titre personnel. Alors, notre première proposition traite de la représentation féminine à la haute direction. Il est proposé que BCE se dote d'objectifs précis afin d'accroître la représentation féminine au sein de sa haute direction. Dans sa circulaire de la direction de 2015, la société déclare s'être abstenue de fixer des cibles de diversité spécifiques, y compris en ce qui a trait à la proportion homme-femme, en ce qui a trait à la mixité, afin de s'assurer de trouver et de choisir les candidats les plus capables sur la base de ses qualités essentielles. Il n'est plus nécessaire de faire la démonstration que les compétences des administratrices et des hautes dirigeantes en fonction se comparent avantageusement à celles des hommes, que les candidates se comptent en nombre suffisant pour répondre à la demande et qu'elles sont prêtes à relever le défi pour peu qu'on leur en donne l'occasion. Cette reconnaissance que la diversité homme-femme est un aspect important de la diversité doit être assortie de moyens que le Conseil entend prendre pour assurer une véritable égalité des chances afin de pourvoir leurs fonctions décisionnelles, ce à compétences, expérience et volonté égale. Nous croyons que la performance de BCE en regard de la mixité est loin d'être satisfaisante. Au 31 décembre 2014, les femmes représentaient seulement 15%, c'est-à-dire 2 sur 13, des membres de la haute direction et seulement 25% des hauts dirigeants, les vice-présidents et leurs supérieurs, dans l'ensemble des principales filiales de la société. Des objectifs et un plan d'action s'imposent. Merci.
Merci pour votre commentaire, Madame Dufresne. Monsieur Gagnon, voulez-vous appuyer cette proposition?
Monsieur le Président, mon nom est toujours Willy Gagnon. J'agis toujours pour le compte du MEDAC. J'aimerais appuyer la proposition avec un tout petit commentaire, ce qui nous a inspiré cette proposition-là. C'est un changement à la réglementation du TSX qui invite les sociétés cotées à la Bourse au Canada à adopter une politique. Sinon, dire pourquoi ils n'adoptent pas cette politique. C'est une technique qui est née dans les années 90 en Angleterre, qui est la technique du « comply or tell ». Ce que j'aimerais souligner, c'est que derrière l'implantation de cette nouvelle réglementation-là, il y a nécessairement une intention. L'intention étant celle-ci, c'est-à-dire de s'organiser pour que l'ensemble des sociétés cotées à la bourse, l'ensemble des sociétés du secteur, en viennent à adopter volontairement un comportement souhaitable, qui est souhaité par, pas le législateur dans ce cas-ci, là, mais le TSX, on aurait osé espérer pouvoir avoir un peu de succès avec cette proposition-là, étant donné que il y a une volonté de cohérence au sein de l'ensemble des sociétés cotées à la bourse. C'est la raison pour laquelle on a envoyé cette proposition-là et on aurait osé espérer que vous l'appuyiez. Je peux comprendre qu'il y a des raisons pour lesquelles vous ne le faites pas, mais j'aimerais également vous souligner qu'il y a d'autres sociétés qui ont adopté de telles politiques, des plus petites et des plus grandes que la vôtre. J'invite évidemment l'ensemble des actionnaires à appuyer notre proposition. Merci, M. le Président.
Merci beaucoup, M. Cagnon. The position of management is, the position of the board in the, is explained in the proxy circular, so I won't repeat that. I just want to verify, though, the motion is to do with management. Mr. Gagnon's reference to the OSC, I believe, references to directors, so we're talking about the proposal number one as the representations in senior management. I think we're now ready to vote. If there are no other questions. Second one. Okay. Thank you, Michelle.
I'd like to make a comment on that.
Can you name yourself, please?
Yes, Ken Lyons.
Thank you.
I've been a shareholder since 1962, so I've been involved with the company for a heck of a long time. I was an employee in those early days. First off, I'd like to commend the board for getting Madame Leroux. C'est une personne très chevronnée. Elle n'est pas la seule qui est capable de faire ce genre de travail. One thing I can understand why MEDAC is bringing forward this thing, because have we in Bell made really any effort to increase the feminine representation? I can tell you that I worked for a hell of a long time, and I've had a lot of managers. And would you believe the best manager I had happened to be the vice president of human resources, and she, a woman, was the best one I've ever had. What I'm trying to say is that don't turn your back on women, and it doesn't hurt to have an objective. Maybe you don't want to make it officially, but how about having some results? I'm sure that companies that do take more women in the senior positions achieve actually better results. We need their input. Don't forget, half the population are women. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons. With respect to the board, we have stated our intention of complying with the 25% female ratio next year, in 2017. George, do you want to say anything on the management side with respect to that question?
No.
Thank you. Question?
I would like to make a comment. My name is Erica Teitman, and I'm a long-term investor in BCE. I just want to make a comment about the composition of our society, the transsexual nature of our society should be addressed, and that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you very much for your comment. I don't see any other at the microphone. Mr. William Davis is here, and he's going to present. There you are, at micro three. Good morning, Mr. Davis. I think you're going to present your proposal to our meeting.
I am indeed. I'm prepared to do that now. I must say I feel a little like David and Goliath standing here. I'm an old fellow, and I think it's rather important to understand the context in which my proposal comes before you. A concern about the quantum of executive compensation isn't really a new issue. This has been going on for a long time, and I could go back and start with quite a few examples, but I want to start maybe 20 years ago. There was a time when shareholders, economists, business schools, all sorts of people were questioning the increasing level of executive compensation. And shareholders made the decision that we would like the corporation to publish the five senior executives' salaries. And we had the notion that perhaps sunlight would be the best disinfectant. And when we published the five, it didn't work at all. Instead of a disinfectant, the information became public, and various boards now knew what other executives in the industry were getting. And the thought began to arise, if we're going to have more than median performance, perhaps we ought to be paying a little above the median. And when you get everybody paying above the median, you might notice the median starts to spiral upward. So that initiative, rather than help, kind of hurt. And I think since then, executive compensation has always been the elephant in the room. So now we're dealing with say on pay. And I've talked to a couple of directors, maybe more than two, after meetings, and they say to me, you're absolutely right. This is a problem, but we don't frankly know what to do with it. We're in a global economy. Nobody wants to be going first. So we're sort of locked in here. And when you get to the say on pay, that's where you see the lock-in. We've gone to rather pricey consultants who make a meal off advising us about how to justify these levels of compensation. And you read the stuff, 35 pages in the proxy circular. That's a lot of reading, a lot of justification, and it looks pretty reasonable. But if you start going back and looking at where the executive compensation was years and years ago in relation to the rest of society, you find that somehow this compensation is locked in way above where it ever was before. So if you keep comparing year after year to the same group of highly paid elite executives, you're not going to make a dent in it. They're not going to solve the problem. It just goes on and on. So I wanted to just give a few examples, and this goes on over a long period of time. I can remember in the post-war period, the chief executive officer got 25 times the salary of the average employee. And then about 30 years later, it's up to 200 times or 250 times. So that's one example. One of my favorites is January 3rd or January 2nd, every year you see in the press that today our chief executive officer has already earned what the average employee will earn in a whole year. That you see that every year. It's rather graphic, but it demonstrates the point. I could talk about the Occupy movement, and everybody remembers it, and a lot of people recognized, and a lot of people were concerned about it, and of course it really never solved anything. The last one of these, I just occurs to me that after the recession in 2008, it was revealed that in the recovery in the gross national product, the 1% actually gained 10%, where the 99% gained 0.5% in terms of that GDP growth. So these are examples of vertical metrics. And I want to move to vertical metrics. In 2012, I moved shareholder proposals at five major chartered banks. And the proposals asked that they alter their formula for doing executive compensation to build in some vertical metrics, some comparison to where ordinary people and to their employees, to their customers, and all that sort of thing. It happened that I was joined by a couple of institutional investors, one of which is related to Desjardins, so I see a note of hope here. Anyway, we withdrew our proposals when the banks agreed that they would take that into account. So now we find the banks are actually mentioning vertical metrics in their say-on-pay calculations. I won't give you too many examples. The TD this year has mentioned median employee and household income. So there's, with a little imagination, there's a lot of vertical metrics. And that moves me to last year at the annual meeting of BCE. I asked the question of whether the board would consider vertical metrics. And the chair advised me that, yes, they would have a chat about it. So that was fine. In August, I contacted the corporate secretary and found that, they had considered it and they weren't going to do anything. And the actual quote is in my proposal, the response from the board. One of the interesting things that transpired since then was that, or before I'd actually contacted the meeting, the management, the Securities and Exchange Commission of the United States passed a ruling that in 2017, corporations would be required to report their average employee income. That's a vertical metric, and that's going to be a requirement. It's a little surprising to me that our board didn't see fit to take a look at this and start to build it. And the banks are doing it. And one of the leaders, strangely enough, is TELUS. They've done quite a bit on vertical metrics. Anyway, I'm just about finished. I want to say a little bit about diversity. Our chairman said that was number one in the factors that make this board a good board. And I think corporate governance practice now suggests that diversity is important. It's not just gender diversity, it's also life experience. So when you come to look at our compensation committee, where did the diversity go? All five members of the compensation committee are people who held offices where they were part of that horizontal metric, where they benefited from the system that has kept this elite group of people paid the kind of remuneration that simply is too high, and is, if it carries on, if we don't rein some of these things in, the capitalist system is a danger, because you can't have that kind of a disparity in levels of income. So I've made my proposal. I think it's not unreasonable to ask that there be more diversity on the compensation committee. It seems sensible to me. I hope people will support it. I'm not expecting a whopping big turnover, and I appreciate your attention.
Thank you very much for your commentary, Mr. Davis. Monsieur Gagnon, voulez-vous appuyer cette motion? Cette proposition?
Monsieur le Président, mon nom est toujours Willy Gagnon. J'agis toujours pour le compte du MEDAC. J'aimerais souligner deux aspects de la proposition de Monsieur Davis avec lesquels on est particulièrement d'accord. J'avais préparé une réponse, mais Monsieur Davis a déjà dit l'essentiel de ce que j'aurais Merci. Voulu dire. On trouve ça parfaitement raisonnable, la notion de ce que le comité de rémunération soit totalement indépendant de la rémunération, c'est-à-dire qu'il n'a jamais tiré de rémunération de ses propres politiques. Et puis, l'accent que M. Davis a mis au sujet du ratio de rémunération et des mesures d'analyse verticale de la rémunération, j'en ai parlé quand je suis intervenu au sujet du vote consultatif. M. Davis l'a souligné. Ça va être une obligation aux États-Unis. On se surprend de voir que vous semblez ne même pas en avoir la volonté. On comprend très bien que ces mesures-là sont difficiles à instaurer. La méthode de calcul doit être la même pour tout le monde, mais à tout le moins, on aurait osé espérer que vous preniez l'initiative d'étendre ce débat-là en ensemble des sociétés cotées à la bourse, et puis qu'il y ait un mouvement qui s'enligne vers ça. Ça serait intéressant d'être capable de comparer les sociétés entre elles. J'appuie évidemment la proposition de M. Davis et j'invite l'ensemble des actionnaires à l'appuyer.
Merci beaucoup, M. Gagnon. Okay. We will now proceed. The response from the board is outlined in our proxy circular to both of these proposals. We will now proceed with the vote on shareholder proposals 1 and 2. Michel, pourriez-vous procéder au vote, s'il vous plaît?
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Alors, encore une fois, les actionnaires ou fondés de pouvoir remplissant un bulletin de vote doivent inscrire un crochet ou un X dans l'une ou l'autre des cases intitulées « pour » ou « contre » ou « abstention » dans ce cas-ci, à l'égard de chaque proposition. Vous pouvez compléter votre bulletin maintenant. Shareholders and proxy holders completing a ballot should please check a mark or an X in the box labeled for, against or abstain regarding each proposal. Please mark your ballot now. Je vous redonne la parole, Monsieur le Président.
Merci, Michel. Alors, les questions soumises au vote étant maintenant complétées, je demanderai aux représentants de CST de ramasser les bulletins de vote. Les résultats seront annoncés après l'allocution de notre président et chef de la direction. And so I now have arrived at item 9 on the agenda, which is usually the highlight of our meetings. I would now like to ask George Cope, our president and chief executive officer, to share his thoughts with our shareholders. George, over to you.
Bonjour, good morning, everyone. Let me start with welcoming our shareholders. A special shout out to the Bell retirees that are here in the room. Thank you for your service and thank you for being here today. Also welcome those that are customers as well who have joined us this morning. Before I turn to my remarks, I want to acknowledge Tom and his work as chair of your board. On behalf of the Bell management team, executive team, Tom, on behalf of the board, I hope the shareholders don't mind. On behalf of all the shareholders, I just want to thank you for your relentless dedication working on behalf of the shareholders and the Bell team and the BCE team over the last 8 years. Thank you very much. And on a personal note, I want to thank you for your guidance, your unwavering support, and most of all, the fun we've had the last 8 years. So just tremendous. And definitely, we are all going to miss you, but we'll quietly cheer for Scotiabank a little bit, okay? look, this sign behind us, this great photo. Let me just take a – my slide's moving? There we go. April 29th, 1880. 135-year anniversary was 2015. In fact, we turn 136 tomorrow. The company's history really is incredible. And if you look here at this wonderful selfie we have of Alexander Graham Bell, you would be amazed at what this company has done. I have in my office in Montreal this original photo of him signed by him. He certainly isn't holding up a selfie, but look what his technology has done. And that was this company that first year, 2,100 phone lines, 29,000 in revenue, 150 team members, and 11,500 in salaries. And I'll bet you that was a pretty large company at that day and at that time. And take a look at these just tremendous photos from our archives we have from 1889 and 1906. And I'm quite proud of this company. I have in my office all 135 years of our annual reports that I use constantly to remind all the employees of the remarkable history this company has had in this country and in this province. And then look forward to who we are today. I'm sure he would be amazed. 21 million customers, $22 billion of revenue, $75 billion enterprise value, 50,000 team members, which means one in 350 Canadians working today work for our company, and one of the most held stocks in Canada. Many shareholders can't get that word out this morning. Tom talked about our strategic imperatives. That has been our journey the last 8 years. It will continue to be our journey. There is just no doubt successful execution of these six strategic imperatives have been what has driven our stock price for the shareholders here today and what we will stay focused on going forward. We can never make a promise on the stock price, but clearly if we excel at these six strategic imperatives, the capital markets will take care of themselves. Importantly, of course, of this journey has been the incredible work we have done of changing our service agenda. That agenda, of course, will never, ever be done. When you have as many interactions as Bell Canada does, and you are leading on technology, once in a while things do definitely go bump in the night, and quite frankly, it's a function of how we recover. And I want to assure all shareholders our recovery and our improvement in service, quite frankly, have been remarkable. We're not done the journey, but just the first quarter this morning, we reported that the calls into our call centers are down 14% just year over year. Our residential repair rates, or assurance means repair, is down almost 30% year over year. Our customer complaints into the CRTC have dropped. And our clients are moving more and more to self-service with our technology. 30 million visits improvement year over year from a quarter. And the most important metric we pay attention to is the percent of customers leaving us. That's the real measurement of satisfaction. And that dropped again for all of our products in the first quarter that we reported this morning. So at the end of the day, the real true measurement of how we're doing on service is, are we keeping more customers? And the answer is yes. And the other part of that is, of course, we're never done. And our customers are clearly those that move our products forward. And this, I thought, was just a really important metric just in the last 4 years now, 55% increase in the number of our Bell Mobility customers that would recommend our services. And, of course, we're seeing that in our wireless results. Our second imperative, and where the majority of your capital goes, continues to be investing in broadband networks and services. This year, again, we will invest close to $3.7 billion of capital in the Canadian economy investing in broadband. We may be one of the only companies in Canada increasing its capital program this year, and clearly are in the top five or six in terms of total investment. And, of course, that's what creates jobs for the country and makes sure that we have the right infrastructure to keep all of our business competitive on a global basis and making sure consumers have access to world-leading technologies. Our focus on the wireline side of the business is taking fiber closer and closer to the home and to business. In fact, of our 11 million premises, business and consumer that we cover today, over 8.2 million now have access to some form of fiber, either fiber 900 meters from your home or business, and actually 2.5 million that have it right to the building or right to the home. And that journey of taking that fiber to the home is going to continue. And as a part of our program that we announced last year, which was a $20 billion capital program over the next 5 years to take broadband wireless and wireline at a much greater speed to homes, businesses across the country where we serve. And on the wireless side, we are the world leader in technology. At the end of this year, 75% of the population will have access to a technology called LTE Advanced in Canada. 96% of it today has access to LTE. But this takes us up to speeds that, quite frankly, we just could never imagine we would be at in the wireless world. And, you know, I'll give you an example. There's a technology that's allowed us to do something new. It's called Cat9. I wouldn't worry about the terminology. But Bell is the only company in North America to have done this, and there's only two other countries where this technology has been launched, and that allows us to be recognized with these type of awards by three independent organizations in the fourth quarter and first quarter of this year, as Bell clearly having the best wireless network in Canada. And importantly, you can see here, much further ahead than U.S. peers in terms of what we have done with our investments. So something our shareholders should be proud of, but we're not doing it for that reason. We're doing it to make sure we drive market share and customers, and we're clearly doing that with our wireless business. The acceleration of our wireless business has been absolutely critical to the type of returns you have seen and the shareholder momentum we have in the marketplace, because a lot of our growth comes here, and we have to maintain that. That's why we're making the network investment, and that's why we're seeing these type of results. In the fourth quarter, for instance, the most important quarter of 2015, we captured as many new clients as our two largest competitors combined. And that was not where we were a number of years ago. So we're clearly leading the wireless marketplace, not only in new customers, not only in technology, but as you saw this morning in our results, hopefully, a reduction in churn, and it's therefore an improvement in customer satisfaction. And of course, it is a shareholder meeting, so to not mention the financials would seem to be missing something. And so you can see here our service revenue in wireless has grown 40% the last 5 years. And EBITDA, which is a form of profit the investment community uses to look at our company, has increased 65% over that period at an 8.7% compounded growth rate, which I can assure you you would find amongst the best in North America and probably in the world in the last 5 years. So true momentum on wireless that continued this morning with our results. Our fourth imperative is continuing to leverage our wireline position with a focus on broadband and internet. And the internet is critical to the future of Bell, BCE, to our shareholders, and quite frankly, to the productivity of our country. I thought this was really quite a fascinating slide, showing that this is the year for the first year that the internet surpasses everything in the home. Surpassed the home phone, despite our friend behind us. Surpassed this year TV. Internet is the core product for our company and for Canadians going forward. It seems, well, we all know that. But these are pretty important milestones we're passing. And so that is where our investment in capital is going. And that is why it's so important for you as shareholders we continue to lead the Canadian broadband marketplace. And we still have a significant opportunity. Because if you take a moment and add up our competitor Rogers, Videotron, and Cogeco, who are in our territory, they have 4.2 million internet subs, and we have 3.4 million, and that's not good enough. We have to get to a 50% market share, and that's why we're making the investment in fiber to the home and to businesses to make sure that Canadians have access to 1 gig services and drive that market share. So although we're the leader and are having tremendous results, there's still a great opportunity for all of us as shareholders. At the end of this year, we'll have 3 million homes and businesses that will have access to 1 gig services. And just to remind folks in the room who don't live this every day, your average in the home today is probably 25 to 50. So this service that we've rolled out to 3 million homes is 20 times faster than any internet you have. There are a few cities in the United States that have this. When we are done this program, provided we get the right regulatory environment, we'll end up over the next decade with 85% of our businesses and premises having access to this technology, 100% assuring us that Canada will be the leader in broadband technology, and we will have an opportunity to grow that market share that I showed you on the previous page. The other very important area for growth for us is TV. Just 5 years ago, we would have been just less than Videotron in TV customers. I told you last year at the annual meeting we would become number one in TV, and we now are in Canada. We now have more TV customers than anyone in the country, and our TV product is just, quite frankly, vastly superior to our competitors, and that's an unusual position to have in our marketplace. And we're leveraging that as quickly as we can in the market. To give you a sense of how we've done in the last 5 years, we've added 635,000 TV customers, and you can see the results of our competitors against us in the TV marketplace. So this is clearly where our growth is, and the way we sell this product is when you take that product, you take it also with our internet services. So that bundle, if you will, is so important to that market share that we're focused on the internet side. And as you can see, we're competing pretty tough against our competitors. And so why is our product better? If you don't have it, you should have it. And there's really five features that we have that are quite different. One is trending. So if you're watching TV and you wonder, there's 300 channels, we all know it gets a little tough to choose the one you want. You simply hit a button and it'll show you automatically
the top five shows being watched by everyone. And if you've made a mistake and you're not on one of our TV shows, then you can actually go and hit a button called restart. So you see that's the number one show, and it's 10:15. It started 15 minutes ago. You hit a button, it goes back to the beginning of the show. Our competitors do not have this feature, and it is used an incredible amount. I can tell you, my employees don't like it, because all I do is send messages, why aren't we the number one TV show being watched that night? But it's great differentiation. And then we have an app in the home that, quite frankly, we think is second to none in the world. You go on that application once, and every iPad, every screen you have in the home becomes a TV set with our application. You never have to register again. You only have to register once. And it's also a fantastic product because you can actually be watching a show family-wise and have another event on the screen. And it's incredible in terms of anywhere in the home now. You have the opportunity to use this service, and it is so easy to use. And then, of course, we're leading with the change in the behavior of the consumer, where people want to, we call SVOD, but use these services such as our launch of Crave TV or Netflix, and that's a part of our TV package now to keep people in the TV ecosystem, if you will. And we're able to do that automatically overnight. Our cable competitors have to change every single box out to make that happen. We were able to download this to those customers that want that service. And then finally, one of the really great features is wireless TV. So if we come into the home, we only have to wire one TV. The rest of your homes need no set-top box that's wired into the wall. Or if you want, you can sit outside with a TV screen and watch. And, of course, you can take the device I talked about. So all five of these features our competitors don't have, and that's why we're leading the TV market with a strategy to pull through Internet. Expanding media leadership continues to be a focus. And we just reported a very strong quarter this morning at Bell Media. We are strong and the leader across Canada on conventional, specialty, pay, radio, digital, and out-of-home. For example, Astral out-of-home now, we're number two in Canada and have 33,000 out-of-home locations that are leveraging our advertising portfolios that we're able to sell to customers of Astral for out-of-home, and you'll see it all over the city, all these billboards and digital billboards, all part of our overall media portfolio. And here in the province, we've been very fortunate. The acquisition of Astral and the growth we're seeing in all of our portfolios, particularly on specialty, out-of-home, and pay, have been very positive results for us here in the province and on the radio side. Industry's never without its challenges because of the changes, and we've had to redress our cost structures right across the country for Bell Media, but we certainly have the leading asset pool to continue to change our strategies as required based on the fast-changing media world. We entered into this very historical agreement with HBO, really the world premier provider of this SVOD type of services, a long-term agreement allowing us to carry their products in English and French on all platforms. So if you look at that popular show, Game of Thrones, and if we wanted to just distribute it out on mobile phones, we could. We're not doing that, but we have maximum flexibility, and it tells you how confident HBO is to select us to be their distributor of their product in Canada and the broadcast, if you will, going forward, versus other alternatives they would have had, such as entering the country themselves. And then, of course, the ownership of our sports teams. I guess we won't talk about hockey today, but we can talk about the Raptors. And, you know, clearly what it has done, though, for us, the ownership of the sports teams fits within our vertical integration strategy and the leadership position we have at RDS and TSN. And as hopefully you saw this morning in the first quarter, TSN and RDS confirm their positions as the number one watch sports networks in the country, both English and French, during January, February, and March, which happens to be a rather heavy season of a main sport that we don't have as much content as our competitor. So great work on behalf of our folks running that asset. And then, of course, our sixth imperative is making sure we have a competitive cost structure. That is not easy to do in today's business, but it has given us the headroom to make the type of capital investments we're making for you as shareholders. If we're going to invest $4 billion a year We have to have an effective cost structure. And so we've positioned your company to have the best wireline margins in North America. We did not have that 8 years ago. And that has allowed us to take that extra margin and put it in fiber. And we're the only, the amount we are doing is more proportionately than any of these three other players because of what we've been able to do from a cost standpoint and drive the type of margins we are for you as shareholders. Of course, it's a shareholder meeting, and Tom had mentioned what we've been working on. Most important, of course, was 2015. We hit all of our financial targets for you as shareholders, and that's obviously clearly important to keep the confidence of the investment community. And we have seen a tremendous response from the capital markets, where we've seen the value of your company increase $39 billion over the last 7 years. And most importantly, we restored a dividend growth model for BCE and have been able to increase the dividend because of this earnings growth on an annualized basis for you as shareholders. We also compete for capital. It's important that our cost of capital stay lower or in line with our competitors. And so over that period, we've also outperformed all of our peers and outperformed the TSX. And that attracts confidence. That allows us to have the headroom that we need to make these investments to make sure Canada is a leader in broadband and make sure we can attract the capital we need for infrastructure growth going forward. No guarantees for the future. It is, after all, equity. But our goal, of course, is to execute on these seven strategic imperatives. And if we do it well, the rest should take care of itself. So I'm going to change gears here a little bit, as I do every year, and I want to talk for a moment about also how proud we are to give back to the community, part of our heritage for the last 135 years. Bell Let's Talk has become so important to the country, and the results have been so positive, making sure that there's no illness in this country that we are not prepared to talk about, and clearly mental illness was one that we weren't comfortable talking about a number of years ago and really are not through that journey. But a brand like Bell standing beside that, we think gives us an opportunity to deal with that stigma. The board supported an initial investment of $50 million in 2010 back to the community to get this happening, and we saw such results. We renewed the program in 2015 to $100 million. It's going back to organizations across Canada, and of course that exciting day we have on Bell Let's Talk. Right here in the province, over 100 organizations in the mental health area have received funding over the last 5 years, and we just had a very, very successful fundraiser for three main foundations. Jeff Molson hosted it for us at the Bell Center and raised $1.43 million in one evening, all going to three very worthy foundations here in Montreal, focused in the area of mental health. And although we want to give back, it's important to measure what we're doing. And so we did take the time to do some research after 5 years, and the results are encouraging. 81% of Canadians think we've moved the attitudes on mental health in this country, and most importantly for all of us in the room, youth thinks we're at 87. And I think the generation that follows next will wonder why we had a stigma attached to an illness. And you can see we're not done. We've reduced stigma, but that's why we're investing again, because the journey is so important, and the feedback we get for the company, you should know, is very important as well, giving back to the country that we're fortunate enough to live in and have this company operate in. So I thought I would just end. I'm going to run two ads that we ran for the day, which I think are some of the best we've run, and a great video that, of course, our Bell Media folks have put together. If we could just run that, please.
Hey, t'as entendu pour Marc?
Non? Bon, qu'est-ce qu'il y a encore?
Il va être parti pour un autre mois.
Ah, c'est plate, ça. Là, pour nous autres, pogné avec tout le travail.
On a entendu dire qu'il réglait son trouble de bipolarité.
Ça sent grave. Ça sonne inventé, ça.
S'informer, c'est terrible pour lui et sa famille.
Ouais, j'aimerais pas dire ça.
Encore désolé d'avoir dû partir. C'est bien correct. Fallait que tu partes pendant l'inventaire. Je me sens tout croche depuis des semaines.
Oh.
Veux tu payer, on a tous nos problèmes.
Je pense que...
Que quoi?
J'ai besoin d'arrêter.
Je suis contente que tu sois venue m'en parler.
This separation of mental health as being somehow outside of health has got to stop.
Notre but, créer un Canada sans stigmatisation, est plus près que jamais.
What's amazing and surprising for me with this campaign is how many people tweet me or text me or stop me on the street saying thank you.
Et nous remercions tout le Canada pour des résultats records avec cette 6e édition de la journée Belle Cause pour la Cause.
La discussion au niveau de la santé mentale.
Exactement, c'est ça. Aujourd'hui, le but de la journée aujourd'hui, c'est d'engager une discussion, en fait. C'est d'engager la conversation.
Oui, bien, en textant, en aimant la page Facebook, Belle envoie 5 cents à chaque fois. Ça vous coûte rien à vous autres, c'est juste de le faire.
I really believe it's becoming mainstream. In some ways, you think, like, mainstream, it's ordinary. We want this to be ordinary.
Notre équipe grandissante de porte-parole, avec Clara Hughes à sa tête, a inspiré plus de 125 millions de textos, de tweets, d'appels et de partages.
Il n'y a pas si longtemps, on avait surtout droit à l'attitude ou d'incompréhension ou d'ignorance, de méconnaissance. Et là, maintenant, on a des gens plus sensibilisés.
Nous avons causé le 27 janvier. Les mots-clics « Belle cause » et « Belle let's talk » étaient encore une fois la tendance numéro un sur Twitter au pays et le mot-clic le plus utilisé au monde, entraînant le monde artistique, la royauté, le monde politique et tous les Canadiens à se joindre à la conversation.
Textez Facebook « Cause pour la cause ».
Merci beaucoup.
À chaque jour au Canada, il y a 11 suicides. 11 suicides par jour dans tout le Canada, c'est énorme.
What keeps us going is looking in each other's eyes and realizing we're there for each other.
I remember when I first was diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder.
The only advice that I can give is to ask for help and reach out for help.
When you were 11 years old, your mother came to the school to get you out of gym class.
She was in tears. I held her in my arms and said, it's going to be okay, Mom, we'll figure it out.
The amazing thing about going into your little dark places is that you're shining a light on those dark places, and they're not dark.